kusukela enhlizweni yethu ukuya kweyakho. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
We have now Pastor Sangweni is with us on the line. Pastor, good evening and welcome back to Radio Pulpit.
Yes, good evening, sir, Daddy Moabi, and the listeners. It is good to be back again on air.
We're continuing with this topic of, you know, habits that some of the couples have, more especially those that have been married for too long. Let's quickly go back to some of the few highlights of last week's topic before we go deep in or dwell into what we have in store for us this evening.
Yeah, and that I'm having the listeners. Last week, we touched upon the fact that these couples, they know how to say sorry and they mean it. That is what we touched on, because if you live in the same space as a couple, one way or the other, you are going to step on each other's. But it's that, you know, the sorry part of it, when a person expresses that is apologizing, should be genuine and be felt, you know.
And must it be verbalized too?
You know, I'm learning in that Moabi. I must admit, we're not the same. Other people are talkers naturally. Others are not that talkative. But I'm realizing that if you don't speak, if you don't talk, people they don't know what is going on. Actions that they would even say actions speak louder than words, which is true. But I think the two must actually go together. We need to speak it out, to say, I'm sorry. It works out the best to tell the person that I am sorry. And the genuineness thereof can be felt if a person is genuine.
No, I hear you, Mruti. Let's go to the next one. Yes.
Then we talk on the fact they don't hold on to grudges. You know, we're human beings. The fact that Paul says in Ephesians 4, the sun doesn't go down while we're still cross, while we're still angry, I think there is a provision of sorts that, of course, we'll be angry, we'll be cross with each other, but it must not take too long. Because if it takes too long, it builds up grudges. And mistakes will happen. This is life. But if we learn to deal with it, to say, you know, it happened, it's water under the bridge, let's move on. But it's easy to say it. The person that helps us, to be honest, is the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to say, no, let it go. And then we move on with our lives. Yes.
We'll also be right in saying again, I know that you dealt with it, that sorry goes, sorry and forgiveness are like twins. The one who asks for it must be forgiven in order for marriages to last long.
It is so true. They go together. You can't, sometimes if a person doesn't say sorry, the person is shutting the door in your face to say, you know what, I find it in my heart to say, I forgive you. But because of pride, certain people would not say, I'm sorry, and so on. But if, so, like you're saying, two coins of a coin.
If you can move around a bit, Moruti, we tend to lose you here and then. Your line, well, is clear, but not that clear. Sometimes it tends to break here and then.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying, can you hear me well now?
Yes, you're much better now.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that, of course, saying sorry and saying I forgive you, they must go together. But it's hard to forgive a person who doesn't see that the person has made a mistake. Yeah, it puts the head part in a very difficult position. Eventually, it will be like, this person is unforgiving, is full of grudges and whatever, but the party that messed up doesn't come forward to say, I'm sorry. So it should go together.
I hear you, Mruti.
Yeah. Now, today, let me touch upon two or three points. Now, these couples that have been around for too long, they've got a habit of making it an effort to understand their partner's perspective or point of view, even when they don't necessarily agree with each other. Now, I think the listening skill is something that we need to develop generally as human beings, because when you listen to your partner, it is so important in any relationship. People want to be heard out. People want to speak out to be heard. What is going on inside of them, in their hearts, emotions, and so on. But just listening, it's half the job done. Now, long-lasting couples hear each other out, and then they show that they truly understand the other's point of view, even if they don't fundamentally agree. I think as human beings, Dadimwabi and the listeners, we've got this fundamental basic need, you know, to be understood, to be heard out. So I think it's crucial to find ways and means to tell your partner that you understand what he or she is trying to convey to you. Even if, at the end of the day, as mature people, you don't necessarily agree. It's very, very important that we hear each other out. But if I'm going to have an attitude of kind of blocking the person, I don't even want to listen, it's got a sense of treating that person as a minor, as a child, to say, you know, you're not mature enough. What you're saying doesn't make sense out of you. Hear the person out, you listen to the person, and then you engage, you deliberate, you discuss. If you agree, you agree. But if you don't agree, it's not a train smash. It's not like you don't care about the person anymore. It's all about maturity to say, I've got this particular viewpoint.
What about those who force people to agree even when people are not agreeing? Sometimes they come manipulating just to push, just so that they get what they want from the partner. Is it fair for them to do that? For people to not agree because they are agreeing, but they are agreeing because they are coerced to agree. They're forced to agree.
It is not fair. In any relationship, for that matter. You see, the married relationship, the bottom line is love, but it doesn't mean that you're always going to agree about stuff. Now, in the office or the workplace, you don't always agree. Your boss can come, because he's your boss, he can give instructions and what have you, but it is not always that you agree with the person's viewpoint. So I don't think it is fair. You use the word manipulation, which is, it's not a nice word, you know. You can't work on people's feelings and make them, put them on a guilt trip, you know, just because you want your way. I don't think that is fair. Now, it's just a matter of saying, well, this is how I look at things, this is how you look at things, but you don't have to force your way, to impose your will, as it were, on another person. I don't think that is fair. And it creates a very, very sour, bitter atmosphere to say, even if a person eventually, you know, complies, but the person really doesn't, you can see, the person is just doing it mechanically. The person is not interested. So to answer you, it is not fair. We just need to learn to say, as an adult, as you are, Mr. Mabi, I'm myself, we're born again, we're children of God, spirit children, and so on. But we've got certain point of views. We cannot always expect that they're going to agree 100%. I don't think this kind of the world we live in, it's a given. We shall not always. I think in that space, Remuhab, in that space of not agreeing, that is where our love, our deep care for each other, that is where it is tested. Because if I'm going to say, no, I don't agree with this point of view, and still you continue to care for me, then it's a proof that this person really cares for me, is it?
All right, we are still with Pastor Sangwen right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Let's go to the next one, Fundis.
And they find little ways to show that they are thinking of each other. You see, most of the things that you are covering here, now, if you just have an overview, they seem very similar, but they're not. You see, these couples, they find ways, just as you are at the workplace right now, and then you get, you know, out of the blue, spontaneous, unexpected, you get a text message from your subject. You know, these people, they've got this thing in them. Because if a person does that, out of the blue, unexpected, spontaneous, it tells you, this person is thinking about me. I am far away, miles or kilometers away from the person, but I'm in this person's space, you know, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, and otherwise. Now, these little ways, they don't need to be something huge or big or so romantic. Those small gestures, though, just show that you're actually thinking about the person. They are very, very, very important. And I would say as well, there is no need for reciprocation here. It's not a matter, you send me a text message, therefore I must return it. No, it's spontaneous. But the good part of it, it leaves that thought lingering in your mind to say, this person has been thinking about me all the morning. That is why the person is sending this text message. Maybe just to say thank you for the nice lunch, the box, the tasty lunch that you prepared for me. Or maybe, you know, the way you care for us as a family, myself and the children, and the other way around, and so on and so on. So they find those little ways. They look very little, but they are very, very impactful. They are very, very powerful. They leave a mark, as it were, in a person's heart and emotions. These habits, we need to develop them from time to time as we grow. And if somebody is good in those, share them with other people to say, you know what, to keep my marriage going, to keep the fire burning, you know, in my marital life, these are the good habits. I need to always remind the person that for her.
Yes, Mfundis, let's go to the next one, please.
Now, this one, they communicate about the fun stuff and the not so fun stuff. Yeah,
they take it easy. They are not always being serious about life and all that.
Yeah, they communicate about things that are fun, also that are not so fun. You know, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of things. You know, talking about positive stuff, things in your life. Let's say you've got an exciting job offer, a promotion at the job, or a trip or vacation with your friends and so on. It is very easy to talk about those things. You know, it comes naturally. But talking about the not so nice issues of your life is not easy. Let's say your anxiety. You know, to be honest, we live in times where people go around mental health, the so-called mental health. People are anxious. People are worried. People have got fears. People are concerned about the future and so on and so on. Their dissatisfaction, unhappiness and so on at the workplace. You sharing this with your spouse, it doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. But these can be, they can be less fun, but they're important nevertheless. Is it? These tougher conversations, I believe, they bring the couple closer and closer together. Now, couples that would stay together for long, they must have those uncomfortable conversations where they share their difficult emotions. Because in as much as your husband or your wife, your spouse, you are at a level of a covenant, if we speak that language of the Bible, covenant. But to a big extent, you are companions, you are friends. You need to share some of the stuff that are not so fun. Because if you are going through hard times, the closest person that you need to share with is this man or this woman. And this person, after he has had whatever, the person is going to carry you, as it were, in his or her heart, praying for you, thinking about you, interceding on your behalf, and so on and so on. And when we express our distress, discomfort, and happiness, and so on, our bond strengthens. And you become more resilient, and the capacity for overall happiness in our marriage increases.
And of course, such conversations are easy to be done when we show, you know, that we care for each other. For instance, when I come from work, you ask me, how am I doing? When she comes from work, she asks me, how am I doing? So I think it's easy in that way for you to be open enough to share those serious and those, you know, little things about life and all that. How important is that, Moruti, to start such conversations at the end of the day?
It is, Ndatimad. It was, you know, those little talks, it's like an icebreaker of sorts, you know. You're breaking the ice, you start a conversation, so that the other party opens up and so on. And then you realize, okay, you see the environment is conducive. Then you start to speak out to say, you know, this is what is happening. This is what is going on at the workplace. This is what is going on with my health, you know. Maybe us as men, as you grow, you develop certain things, men things. You start to share, to say, you know what, this is what is happening in my life at this point in time. That is not so fun to talk about. The fun stuff is very nice and easy to talk about. So, like you're saying, we need to start with the baby steps, things, we talk about them, and then go to serious stuff where we support each other emotionally and otherwise. Yeah, you know, what I can touch upon as well is to say, in life in general, let me say brother to brother, and then also between spouse. We just need to I think I did touch upon this. We need to break down the walls between us. This thing of being defensive and protective or defensive and all of those things, it doesn't help. The closest thing that is next to you is your spouse. So develop these habits early on in our lives to say, even if I've messed up, made it wrong, I need to develop them to be humble enough to break down the wall so that my spouse can access me and help me out. Because, you know, at the end of the day, in that work, your wife, either the wife or the husband, they've got your goodwill at heart. We take it for granted that this person, because this person loves me, this person does not have any intention to hurt me. Therefore, because there is goodwill, I need to open up. Because this person, I believe God brought this person into my life so that the person will be my support system. Because we need some sort of support system. And people are carrying loads emotionally and otherwise and so on. If you don't have this person that is next to you, where you kind of, you know, you I don't want to use the word dump, it doesn't sound good, but this is where you offload, you know, to say, you know, this is what is happening. And that burden, if you share it, they say half a load that you have shared is a load that you have shared. It's not a load that is taken off your chest, off your own emotions.
And we should also do our best to create a conducive environment for such a, you know, lifestyle to be lived. And if you're a wife, if you're a man, try to iron, you know, your issues out. And like you said, Elia Moruti, that don't let the sun go down on you when you are angry and stuff like that. I think if we can also understand the fact that sometimes when we become moody, it becomes very difficult for us to talk. And when we are not talking, we open doors for misunderstanding and we create things that are not there, instead of us finding out from our partners whether what we are thinking about them is true or not. I think under such circumstances, it becomes very easy for the enemies of marriages to operate. So let's by all means avoid such environment. Make the environment to be holy and conducive and wonderful enough for us to talk. And not to, again, you don't want this statement, we need to talk. I don't know if it's only me who dreads that you know, statement, we need to talk.
you know what, Ndade Mwabi, as we wrap up, last year, 2023, we touched upon this, you know, when we say the bedroom should be treated as a bedroom, it's not a courtroom where somebody will say, wake up, we need to talk. You know, it's not good. You know, it attracts bad spirits, you know, into your life, into your marriage and so on. So, like you're saying, as adults, we need to create that conducive environment, nice, homely, sweet environment where everybody is comfortable, everybody is free to talk, and everybody is actually quite confident to say, this is the safest place where I can be. At the workplace, it's not that safe, but in my house, it is safe. But it's only Mr. Mwabi or Mr. Samuel and Mrs. Samuel who can create that. Nobody else will do it for you. They can come and help out, but as we train ourselves, as we work on our marriages, I'm the one who's eventually going to create that environment.
Mm-hmm. Murutuaka, once again, thank you very much for your time. For those who would like to talk with you, Muruti, can you please give them your contact details?
Yeah, my contact number, cell number is 082-619-5193, also on WhatsApp, 082-619-5193. And then on Facebook, you get me at Manfred Sangwen. Thank you very much.
Muruti, thank you.
God bless you, sir.
Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.